I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Macario dans l'axe, Macario. Oh, quel geste! Quel geste exceptionnel de Katarina Macario! C'est magique!
Welcome to Upfront. I'm Flo Lloyd-Hughes.
I'm Chloe Morgan.
And I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
We're away! England kick off Euro 2022 with a 1-0 win over Austria on a memorable night in Manchester. The performance might not have been pretty, but what an incredible occasion it was. All three of us were in Old Trafford, so we're going to reflect on the night as a whole and pick apart the game. Hello to listeners joining us on the main Ramble feed. Lovely to have you. Lovely for you to be here with us the morning after such a memorable night.
You get to listen to our dulcet tones, yeah, reflecting on a wonderful match.
No one's hungover. No one's tired, are they? Just fresh-faced.
No.
I was going to say, we all had like late nights for various different reasons. We stayed out in Manchester. Well, producer Charlie, Finn, myself, Rachel needed to get some important sleep.
Thank you.
Chloe left the game early, but didn't get back probably until the latest yeah, of all of us yeah, in London. So
I had a wild one on the Avanti West Coast. Yeah, yeah. It was a roller coaster of emotions. Yeah, coming in.
It was a roller coaster.
Yeah,
that was quite a fun journey home. No,
not when you expect a nice smooth journey. Just to get back right, at enough, a reasonable time and just, you know, enter your duvet at you know, 12 o'clock in the morning.
But enter your duvet. Entering the duvet.
That's how it felt.
And was it busy? Were there a lot of fans that left the game? Or
no, it was fairly empty. It was basically full of commuters, which is a bit weird. Yeah, bizarre journey back, but we got delayed. This is very boring chat. So boring. Just commute.
You've got to start with the admin
new
chat.
New listeners,
always.
We love a bit of admin chat at
you
the beginning.
You always do the admin chat at the beginning. So it's very busy and it was delayed.
Yeah, basically. And then I got a taxi back and I ended up in bed at about 2:30. And now it's, what time is it? It's 8:30.
That is basically because I only went to bed a little bit later because I wanted to get a Burger King. So I actually could have been asleep before you, which it seems mad because I went out into the early hours.
But Flo is unreal this morning. She's wide awake, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
I'm a morning girl. What can I say?
She's still drunk.
She has croissants
I wasn't even that pissed.
It's insane. I've never seen anything like it.
Let's get to the football. Start with the opening ceremony, which for a little bit of time, I was really worried that the players weren't going to be able to see a thing, because this always happens when they go mega on the fireworks and then there's just like a huge cloudy fog that kind of wraps around the whole pitch and then the players can't see anything. But it actually dispersed quite quickly.
I did think initially it wasn't good, because I'm a photographer, for those of you who don't know. So I was kind of sitting pitch side going, uh-oh, what am I going to shoot? It's just going to be like random, you know, shadows coming out of the mist. But no, it was pretty epic. Pretty epic show. And then by the time the anthems and everything were done, it had lifted. But I want to rewind a fraction to pre-match. We arrived maybe 2.5 hours before kickoff. And as we came out in our Uber, you kind of passed over the fan park. I swear to God, Sophie next to me in the car nearly started crying. There
was
just
mega.
Thousands and thousands and thousands. It was 2.5 hours before kickoff. Like, I don't even normally get to a match that early as media. These guys are all here partying way in advance. It was insane to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I also feel like, I think we said this in a couple of the build-up shows we've been doing, that I certainly was, because I can be a bit pessimistic, but I was a bit sceptical because I felt like people really weren't taking notice of the tournament and getting excited in the host cities and things like that. But yesterday completely changed that for me, because the fan parks were absolutely rammed. There were queues everywhere. Even the queue for a programme, which I'm annoyed I didn't get one now, but the queues for the programmes were like 10 people deep at every single stall. It was just crazy. And from even like 2 hours before kickoff, the place was just buzzing. And then I was like, okay, no, this does feel like such a big occasion. And then seeing the players come out for the warm-ups and the noise that England were greeted with even then, it was just so special. Chloe, I don't know how you were feeling last night.
Yeah, well, I think the atmosphere there was just unprecedented. And I think for me, I know we had a bit of a catch-up early on in the day, but it just felt like it started from 9 o'clock in the morning as soon as everyone woke up in Manchester. And, you know, you had the fan activation zone in the middle of the town centre, and that got everyone going at midday. And then going down to the fan park and then sort of seeing all the games that are on show, all the flags and the, you know, the clappers that are being handed out, and all the volunteers. I've got to give a massive shout-out to them, because they were just unreal in creating the atmosphere. And every single one of them had a great, like, smiling face in them, giving out, you know, all this free stuff and merch. And yeah, it just created this massive, like, beautiful vibe. And it kind of felt like it was a massive part of history. And I think they really celebrated that. And then as soon as you sat in the stands and, you know, you sort of looked out and saw that there was not a single empty seat in that stand, you really kind of felt that you were part of something pretty bloody special. And yeah, the opening ceremony, I mean, that was just, it was like the Olympics.
I am a sucker for fireworks and fire.
Yeah,
I'm just like more
the
of that
fireworks
stuff.
Was
pyrotechnics.
Just get so distracted.
The fireworks and the pyrotechnics were 10 out of 10. I was a little bit disappointed with the flag situation.
Well, the little dance at the beginning.
Yeah,
it was just like a flag flow.
No. I didn't want a flag. I was disappointed with the flags and the kids waving the flags. And like,
that was lovely.
I just wanted, like, you know, wanted some Ella Henderson vibes. I wanted some kind of big performer in the middle of the pitch. Or like, you know, do you remember when Pitbull...
No, that's too NFL.
Do you remember when Pitbull did, I think it was for the 2014 World Cup in Brazil, he did like a ridiculous, like, everybody shake your ass kind of situation. I needed something like that.
Would have gone down an absolute treat. Everybody shake your ass at the fucking Women's Euros 2022 flow.
Yeah. Do you know how to twerk? Yeah, let's remember how that went down.
I don't know. I just needed a bit of
I
celeb.
Thought it was great.
But do you know who was really good? The DJ who...
Jaguar?
Yeah. Oh, and actually, yeah, she was going to come to the thing last night, that shout out Katie from the Stack team was DJing at as well, but I don't know if she made it. So we've got a real Euros DJ crew forming, like an ultimate team. But I thought she was brilliant, and that really did build the atmosphere. And then
we got to
cut
the football.
To Beth Mead's goal that nearly wasn't a goal, but it was a goal, and the noise when that went in, and then Mead's reaction. Oh, it was so good. I'm actually getting goosebumps thinking about it.
She is. I can confirm that. I can see the hairs.
It's making me all tingly.
She's definitely still drunk.
The game started probably not as we expected, I reckon. Austria definitely came out of the blocks. I think we probably thought they were going to...
Austria played well, actually.
They did.
We thought they were going to probably sit back a bit. Probably took advantage of everyone thinking they were going to do that. And I think they pressed England really high quite early on in the game, which... I don't think we expected. England didn't really get out of their half for a little while. I was quite impressed with how Austria started. They know England are a bit of a second half team, so they were probably trying to capitalise on that. But yeah, that Beth Mead goal, I was way down the other end, didn't know what was going on, saw her chip it, assumed it was in, seemed to take an age for them to celebrate, and then then not celebrate, and then celebrate again. So that that Serena Wiegmann celebration, I don't know if we caught it because we were obviously at the match, but I did see it on a replay where she kind of did this really cute little like arm wave.
She's
and then her,
so adorable.
And then her hands went on her head when she was like, oh no, it's VAR. And then she went back in the press conference afterwards. Someone asked her how she felt about that. And she was like, well, at first I was happy and then I was a little bit less happy and then I was happy again.
I love her so much. She's just the best person ever. I mean, we were obviously in the press box, producer Charlie, producer Finn, and you, Chloe, were in with the fans, in with the ultras. What was it like in the stands when that goal went in?
It was absolute chaos. It was just absolute madness, and everyone just exploded. And I think it was that kind of initial fear of, oh my God, has it actually gone over the line? And then the ref called it, and we were like, oh God, okay, there's another explosion. And then VAR came on. It was like, okay, oh God, have we celebrated this way too soon? And then VAR was like, yeah, no, we've got it again. It was another absolute explosion. So there was about three explosions in the space of about 15 seconds. It was huge. I couldn't see anything. People were screaming, crying.
Stop it.
The emotion, and that was mainly me, but it was just like, it was just so emotive. It was just beautiful to watch. And, you know, I think that goal had been coming for a while. And I agree with what Rachel said that, you know, Austria definitely came out and pressed hard. And I think it did actually spark off a couple of mistakes on the back line, especially in and around the penalty area, which I think was a little bit nervy for everyone initially. But I think after about 15 minutes or so, it felt like England seemed to find their feet and started to actually play better football. And I think they were starting to string passes together, gain their confidence. Obviously it's a big crowd, it's a big occasion, and you need to sort of get yourself out of those, you know, rusty nerves phase at the sort of start of the game. And you could really see that something was going to come, because Ellen White just seemed to have her head on absolutely everything, and the ball's being threaded into the box, both on the left-hand side. I thought Hemp was absolutely brilliant, but yeah, it felt like it was coming, and the crowd were ready for it multiple times over.
There was definite nerves, I think, which is totally understandable. I mean, I think a lot of people we spoke to were expecting a higher score from England. I mean, the way I look at it is a win's a win. The main thing is you want to kick off your Euros with a win. Probably would have liked to have scored more goals, but there was definite nerves. I thought Hemp struggled a little bit in the first half. I thought Vine Rother from Austria did a really good job of marshalling her. They ended up switching her to the other side. So I thought she did a great job, because everyone has talked about Hemp and what a danger and a threat she is. I thought Millie Bright was outstanding at the back, because, you know, Austria did get forward quite a bit. They did send in some pretty good crosses, and she was there kind of marshalling them out. And we talked earlier about where Leah Williamson was going to play. She had been playing kind of defensive midfielder, and then she was partnering with Bright at the back. So I think we were all a little bit intrigued to see how that was going to go. But yeah, I thought Bright was brilliant. I thought Georgia Stanway as well was excellent. She got player of the match performance. So it wasn't necessarily our forwards. I know obviously Mead scored, but it wasn't necessarily our forwards for me stealing the limelight. I thought Stanway and Bright had brilliant games.
Yeah, I think on the back of that as well, I think with Bronze, I thought she had a really outstanding game. I think there were sort of the initial parts of the game, or when they seemed to be under quite a lot of press, I think she dealt with the pressure really well. Very cool, calm, collected. And she definitely spotted opportunities to also go and take, you know, 30, 40 yard runs up the
She'd
field
take
in
off.
The first half.
Yeah.
Yeah, she literally did, and became sort of part of a massive part of the attack. So, yeah, credit to Bronze as well.
So England go in 1-0. I think people are getting very excited, feeling good, feeling confident, and feeling like they were probably going to go into another gear in the second half and kind of really, really punish Austria, and the game was going to end, you know, 3-4 nil. Doesn't quite work out in the second half like that, and it ends up being quite a nervy last 15-20 minutes. There were a few moments where I had my heart in my mouth a little bit. And Mary Earps pulled off some really good saves.
Yeah, she did.
And I think for me, across the whole 90 minutes, from the first sort of 5 minutes, like you mentioned, Rachel, when Austria put England under cosh a little bit, England still look, when they're pressed hard, quite nervy bringing the ball out from the back.
So interesting.
Against Holland, yeah. Like we saw that a lot. Last night we saw that. And I am starting to just, there's a little bit of doubt on the back of my mind, like, oh, you know, against a high pressing and high intensity side like Spain, even though we saw them play so well against Spain in the Arnold Clark Cup, and tactically Serena even just absolutely played a blinder, I'm just a little bit concerned about Millie Bright, Lucy Bronze, Leah Williamson. They're just taking a lot of risks. The risks are paying off, don't get me wrong. But, oh, I'm getting nervous.
So, a couple of things. Soph and I were talking about this yesterday. And we were saying, while it got nervy at the end in that it was only 1-0, we were like, having a two-goal cushion would have made us an awful lot calmer. Didn't feel as nervous as you normally would coming to a end of a match like that. Like, in the past, we would see England really kind of crumble and really make their own mistakes, if you know what I mean, really invite the other team back in. I don't feel like we saw that. I do think they were allowing Austria to kind of put a bit more pressure on them. But for me, they handled that pressure better than they have in the past. When we talk about the second half, you know, we've seen in the past that England tend to come on much stronger in the second half. I reckon as the game went on, the team started to kind of settle, the nerves started to settle. Once you bring in all those substitutions, we had three substitutions made at the same time. All of those players now have to deal with the nerves of playing their first Euros opener at Old Trafford. And I'd say that was probably a little bit of the maybe why we didn't see the impact that we normally see from those. I do think Kelly, Russo, Toon brought like a whole bunch of energy, freshness. But I think they were nervous as well and probably didn't take their chances the way we would normally see them take them. So I'd say there was an element of that for them.
Yeah, I think, I mean, game management wise, I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, obviously, they've been working on playing out from the back in quite a lot and also dealing with pressure at the back as well. And I think, you know, the old style of football was essentially just hoof it away and then hope for the best and hope that someone's going to keep it up there for a few minutes to give yourself a little bit of space and time. But I think what we're starting to see now is that transition over the past couple of years and actually just being comfortable playing it around at the back and under pressure and, you know, trying to find some of those threaded passes through. And I think that's where the team seem to have got to. And whilst it might seem a bit hairy to watch, it's actually a sort of a fairly controlled affair. And I think I actually enjoyed that style of play. So credit to them for keeping up, you know, those kind of more dangerous balls at the edge of the box, because that's a real test of talent and you know, being calm under pressure. So, yeah, I'm all for it. And it just makes it more dramatic. My heart was in my bum for about half an hour, actually. Yeah.
You ever had that before?
Chloe's going to poo out her own heart. Never has anyone done that before.
This is why people should listen to Upfront. You know, this is what you're missing out on.
It's a scientific marvel. yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Rachel, you're right. A win is a win. And as much as I wouldn't have liked such a tense final 10, 15 minutes when I kind of wanted to be sick, they got the job done. It was really interesting. I mean, I'll make two... One of them very cliche, but last summer, which for so many Ramble listeners, I'm sure was like one of the greatest summer of their lives, when England men made it all the way to the final of the Euros at Wembley, they started that tournament with a 1-0 win against Croatia at Wembley. Then they got a very crappy 0-0 draw against Scotland and a 1-0 win against Czech Republic in the final group game. And we know what happened next on that glorious summer. So there's reasons to be cheerful and hopeful and optimistic that, you know, just because you start the tournament with a fairly nervous 1-0 win doesn't, you know, write you off. We obviously know that. And then secondly, really interested to know your guys' thoughts on what Georgia Stanway said after the game, because she was saying that she almost wished they hadn't played Sweet Caroline. I don't really like Sweet Caroline anyway. I think we need a new song because I think it's been overplayed ever since the Euros.
Gets people going.
Because they played at every single EFL ground. Like, I can't get hyped up for bloody Exeter, Newport County, Sweet Caroline. Like, it's just not going to happen.
So they should start playing it, not England.
So, yeah. And so she was saying she thinks it was almost too early to bash that out because people get too overexcited. And I suppose what was magic about last summer is Sweet Caroline wasn't forced. It kind of just naturally became this anthem as England progressed throughout the tournament. And then by the semi-final win, it was this like glorious kind of head loss moment. I'm actually getting goosebumps again. But I'm kind of with Georgia a little bit. Like, I think for the crowd, it's amazing. And you can't say to the PA, like, don't do it because everyone wants it. Everyone is just, like, so thirsty for it. But at the same time, I think Serena and the players are like, I think we just need to tone it down.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's on them to tone it down. I think...
Shut up, Georgia.
No, but as in, like, she was kind of saying afterwards, they were trying to have a conversation after the game and, like, Sweet Caroline was whacked on straight away. I mean, maybe they should tune it out because I think for the England, like, women's football is in a different place to men's football is when it comes to, you know, hordes and hordes of really, really long-term supporters. Obviously, there's a lot of long-term supporters out there of the women's team, but when we're talking about a full stadium you know, that have travelled far and away, that have their chance, that know the different chance for the different players and all that kind of stuff. It's slightly more in a younger place, women's football. And I think these kind of songs get the crowds going, get the crowds behind the team.
It was one of the best atmospheres I think Ellen Road was really good. Ellen Road was really good.
I thought, Barcelona, Real Madrid, not to rub it in, yeah, but that would be
some of us didn't get to go to that one, all right, Rachel? But it was a really good atmosphere. And I think... What I really loved was seeing, like, and I don't mean this in like in a negative way, but uh-oh, like seeing, like, you know, a 40-year-old man in England shirt being like, come on, fucking get stuck in, like, you know, like off his seat being like, clear it, fucking Rosette. Like, that's what I live for. And although, like, Mexican Wave is brilliant, and like I saw my friends last night and they brought their 9-year-old niece, and the Mexican Wave was like the highlight of the whole night, and she was so excited for it. And I was like, that's brilliant, but I want that, and I want this guy losing his mind over Millie Bright smashing it into Rosette. Marry that together and everyone to be happy and everyone have to have a lovely time, and that's the recipe for success.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
A few decisions for Wiegmann to think about, because I think a lot of people were surprised not to see Alex Greenwood in the starting lineup yesterday after she's played the majority of the warm-up games at left side centre-back. She can play at left-back. We didn't see her in the back four. We saw Rachel Daly at left-back and we saw Liam Williamson as the centre-back partner with Millie Bright. What do you guys think about that? Would you stick with this back four, or do you think Wiegmann should slot Alex Greenwood back in?
I think for Ramble listeners, go back and listen to our preview episode, because we spoke about the Leah Williamson conundrum.
Leah Williamson gate.
Well, you know, she has been playing defensive midfielder. She is captain, you know, so you're going to expect her to start. But Alex Greenwood has been playing. That partnership with her and Millie Bright has been brilliant. Being left-footed, Serena Wiegmann has said she really likes having a left-footed centre-back in there. And the two of them can ping out balls to the wings, to Mead, to Hemp. We saw it against Belgium. They are pinpoint crosses. And I really like having that. But we also talked about the fact that we don't think she's necessarily going to play the same 11 for matches. I think she is going to mix things up. We think she might mix up formations as well. We think we might see 4-2-3-1, which we've seen in the past. And that's where we see Leah Williamson in pairing with Kira Walsh in a kind of defensive defensive midfield pairing. So we might see that again. But, you know, we said that when they're playing more attacking, we would likely see a 4-3-3, which is what we saw last night. So perhaps against Norway, we might see that 4-2-3-1 just to give them a bit more solidity at the back with two defensive midfielders. So we could see Alex Greenwood back there. but I would like to see her play. She's also great at set pieces. She takes her corners as well.
We didn't get a lot of set piece opportunities. I think we only had that. Felt like we only had that one free kick in the first half, and then
we had a couple in the second.
A handful of corners, but yeah, the set pieces weren't great.
Also, the corners
night.
They kept going short.
Yeah,
I literally
The first half was way too deep.
I'm gonna march onto the pitch one day and just I'm gonna kick the ball out of the fucking stadium, because if they do one more short corner and then they don't work, and then they do another one and it doesn't work, and then they do another one, and I'm just like, what? Like, what is the thinking behind this? So at least Alex Greenwood can ping in a ball.
Yeah, I think, well, to be honest, I think I enjoyed the partnership yesterday with Brighton and Williamson. I think there was a few shaky moments in the first 10-15 minutes, a lot of nerves coming in, but I think that would have been expected from anyone at the back when Austria was sort of laying down the press pretty hard. But, you know, no, I think it's difficult. It's going to be a difficult one for Greenwood to take, because I think she has played so amazingly in some of the lead-up games and obviously the season that she's had, and that she does have a part of great partnership with Bright. But I think for me, I think Leah Williamson really showed her stuff yesterday. She definitely captained ridiculously well, obviously got the win for the squad, but also I think there was a lot of amazing little through balls that she played and sort of created off some of the good counter attacks. And I think now it's going to be a case of Leah keeping her shirt for a while, maybe Greenwood stepping in for maybe one of the last games of this group stage if we're doing well. But I think Leah's going to stay. I think the partnership's going to stay for a while.
I don't see her dropping Leah. Mm. I just wonder what position she'll play.
She can't not be in the team, so it's whether she shifts around. I think she probably might against Norway, because she's going to want a bit more defensive cover.
I think so.
But Kira Walsh and George Stanway were fantastic last night. So, it's going to be really interesting. And we will dig into that in our next episode on Saturday. But tonight, Northern Ireland get their Euros campaign underway with a tough first game against Norway. That's a hard one. I hope they can just be really solid and try and restrict Norway to as little opportunities as possible, because whenever I watch Northern Ireland play, they just don't create a lot of opportunities. There's obviously a massive reliance on Rachel Furness to like carry the team. So, you know, they do score with a lot with what they create, but they don't create much. So, I think it could be a tough one.
Yeah, and not that Norway have any particularly weak areas, but if there's any area you're going to target, it's probably going to be their back line. I think they've got quite a young goalkeeper as well, but the firepower in that team, you know, you've got your Guro Reiten, who had an outstanding season for Chelsea. Ada Hegerberg is back for Lyon, back scoring the goals after a long injury. She was away from the Norwegian team for a number of years as well. And she is one of the best players in the world. You've got Caroline Graham Hansen, unreal season for Barcelona. You know, if these guys have got their shooting boots on, it's going to be a hard evening for Northern Ireland. But they are pretty solid defensively. We saw that in both first halves when they played England. So England have Northern Ireland and Austria in their World Cup group, as well as their Euros.
It's annoying. That's really so boring. Weird. Like, it's really... all three teams must be like, oh, for fuck's sake.
These guys again. So I reckon we might see them tight in the first half. But I think the other thing that Norway will probably have is a fitness edge over them. So... yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm going to the game tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing Northern Ireland kick off their first major tournament match. It's going to be brilliant for them.
I can't wait to see what Kenny Shields says in the post-match press conference. It's always a wild ride with him. We have to mention a very, very heartbreaking story that broke...
the day before the Euros.
The day before the Euros, and that Tuesday. Would have been, what, the day after we... Did we record on Tuesday? My mind, I can't remember what day it is. But I'm sure lots of people may have seen Alexia Putellas, Ballon d'Or winner, Spain's, you know, key player. She tore her ACL in training. She's out for the tournament, and it's absolutely gutting.
It was the worst. It started trickling through around 5:30 in the evening. Really weirdly, the Spanish team did this like behind the scenes video of Putellas.
That was bizarre.
Coming out of a lift on a pair of crutches and like hobbling off.
I felt really sorry for her.
Hobbling off to hospital, and I was like, this is taking transparency to a whole new level. They were basically like, it was almost like, we know we've got some good content. If we tweet about a possible injury, we'll get loads of engagement. And then sure enough, it was confirmed around 8 o'clock that she'd done her ACL, and not only missing this Euros, but because of COVID, we've got a World Cup next year. And that's the other thing that you're worried about. Like, is she going to make it back in time for that? But I just not only feel for her, feel for the Spanish team, feel for the fans. Like, she's one of the best players in the world.
That's what's really sad. I think it has a massive impact on the tournament as a whole. And I kind of tweeted this slightly ironically, obviously, saying, you know, we should just cancel the whole Euros. But she is such a big part of women's football at the moment as a whole, as kind of a globally recognised figure. And it is just so gutting when someone like that can't play in this tournament. And yeah, I think it's really going to impact the tournament, I think, because people would have come from like far and wide just to see her.
Well, it's like when, you know, your Tiger Woods, your Serena Williams were at the height of their careers and they'd get injured and miss a major tournament. And you always felt their absence, if you know what I mean. It was always a big thing. And you kind of remember that tournament because of the player's absence. So I think that's going to be the case. We were also excited to see Piteous in a major tournament at this level, at the height of her career. And it's just the cruelest way.
I just feel really sorry for her. Yeah, I think just on a personal level, I think I can't even imagine the kind of heartbreak that she's under at the moment. And, you know, not even to step 1 minute onto the field to play any sense of the games this summer, I think is going to be absolutely gutting for her. And I think, you know, with ACL injuries and the type of rehab that you need in the aftermath of those injuries, I think she will be not only looking at this tournament as a write-off, but potentially the World Cup, because it's going to be incredibly tight for her to turn things around in a year's time and be ready at that level, because it's just such a slow process with ACLs. So, I feel really, really, really fucking gutted for her. Really gutted for her. Yeah.
I will be at Spain, Finland at Milton Keynes on Friday. So we'll see what happens with Spain. I think, you know, they've still got a really good chance of getting out of the group, but it's absolutely gutting. What a first night, guys. What a first night.
Up and running.
I mean, I just hope that every game is as good as that one. And, you know, it's going to be an intense and tiring couple of weeks, but it's going to be one hell of a ride. So that is it for today's episode of Upfront. Join us on Saturday. We're going to be bringing reaction to Northern Ireland's game against Norway, Spain versus Finland, and Germany versus Denmark. Remember, we'll be here 3 times a week throughout the tournament, so make sure you subscribe to Football Ramble Presents so you don't miss an episode. In the meantime, if you've got any questions for us, tweet us at Football Ramble, at Floyd Tweet for myself, at Girls on the Ball for Rachel, or at Morgie_89. See you on Saturday.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.